today is on January 17th, 1972, 33 years ago, is the day that it pleased God to reveal His Son in me. A couple of years after, well, about a year and a half after or so, the woman that became my secretary, Jean Watts, was at the meeting that Norman Grubb spoke at, which was a dedication of this new television station that I helped start. And she had taken notes of Norman Grubb's talk. And I've shared these before, but I thought it would be appropriate to just tell you some of the things that he said that caused me to say the words, God, if you're real, you know, what this guy is talking about, then that's what I want. I don't care what it costs me. I had no idea what I was saying because I'm not sure I would have made that deal had I known what was to come. But anyhow, I'm going to just read a few of her notes from that talk by Norman Grubb. As Burkhardt said in that New Yorker piece, there are many, many things that I disagree with him about his theology, but it was his voice that God used to cause me to see the end of myself. So, anyway, anybody have any thoughts? Anything they want to talk about?
Well, you know, it's like, you know, when we're listening to Benny or Ian, you know, it's just like you said, you know, even they may, you know, how people hear.
Or Balaam's ass, even.
Yeah. A better example.
I'm just going to read these at random and. I am fulfilled as I fulfill others. What happens to me is not important if I meet your need. In the book of Revelation, I have not seen cities or wars or wrath or tribulation or the future. But I see the Lamb. The center of the book of Revelation is the Lamb of God. Do not question God's taste in choosing you. Do not be ashamed of yourself. He is not ashamed of you. We tend to be matter-related rather than spirit-related or spirit-minded. Don't see at, always see through. Never look at circumstances, but see through the situation, see God and what He is doing in those circumstances. Storms and tests are not real. God is our only reality. The things that we see and feel and sense are not real. You cannot define yourself. Forget it. Doubleness is evil. Our only real basis of unity, love, and fellowship is Jesus Christ Himself. We should feed each other Jesus' food. I must consecrate my money, my plans, my family, my ambitions, my good things, my bad things, absolutely everything to Him. The Bible does not teach that we are constantly to be blessed ourselves. It teaches a message of discipleship and dying to ourselves that Christ might work through us. We must have a thorough, experiential knowledge of wrong before we know right. That was one of the words that got me, because I had a thorough experiential knowledge of wrong. I didn't know it was wrong until I did it. Don't start. I'm going to start. Blasphemy is the denial of foundation. Our foundation is Jesus Christ. Be sure of the foundation. Don't dig it up again. Knowledge is more than just hearing truth. Knowledge in the Bible is being truth. Everyone is a slave, including God. Enjoy your slavery. A liar is a self-lover. God is a self-giver. Adam hid from God after he sinned, not God from Adam. God knew where he was all the time. Stay in close contact with God, even in sin, in sickness, in defeat, in all things. Satan is the god of self-love. God is the god of self-giving love. Release guilt immediately. Stop insulting God by holding on to it. The worst sin in the world is not letting him forgive after you are aware of his forgiveness. Faith is never taking. Faith is being taken. You took a bigger person when you took God than you could have ever imagined. Faith is simply Jesus in you, believing in himself. God longs for pals to fellowship with. Recognize who and what you are and don't try to become anything else. Simply allow Christ to flow through you. Don't try to change your life anymore. Quit looking for a special call. Don't spend your life searching for the will of God. Be the will of God. Never put your children or your loved ones or anything before him. Oh, God, I'm sorry. If you could see clearly, enemies would be your greatest gift. The greatest gift is always the things that trouble you. I'm sorry, I'm not doing too well. Faith is the foundation of prayer. Prayer is simply speaking, standing on that foundation. God says, I do not know success or failure, just love and obedience. Jesus Christ is the only real person or individual that there is. You are a failure. You were meant to be a failure. Now get out and let the Lord use you. Failure is the only way that he can use you. We function only in weakness before God. He alone must be our life and our strength. You are forgiven as you forgive others. You are also loved as you love. The problems and upsets of our lives are not for our benefit so much as they are for the benefit of others who will come in contact with you that we may be able to help them in their time of need. Everything that happens is God. Doesn't matter whether you call it good or evil. The Bible is a revelation of and a bridge to God himself by Jesus Christ. It's only in losing ourselves in Christ that we find our true selves. God treated Jesus like a sinner so he could treat you as a saint. God has more to lose than we do. Jesus was taken from men, ordained for men, and then sent back to men. So will you be. You may end up visiting the bottom, but you won't live there. You are eternally, always, only a self-lover or an other lover. Every time you are a self-lover, you have fallen to the kingdom of darkness. Obviously, he spoke for a couple hours, and that's just her notes about what he said. The thing that drove me over the edge, that saw that God was a possibility, was that I was meant to fail. And that's the only way that he could use me. It is the worst message that you can hear if you have a preset course of action. Now, you've heard me say it many, many times. I wasn't desperate, or I wasn't in depression, or I wasn't anything except bored. And I can promise you and tell you with 100% certainty that I have not been bored since the instant that he revealed his son in me. But the primary reason for boredom or confusion or anything else is that you not sharing what's going on. The evidence, what boredom reveals is that you have not been prophesying. You have not been saying what's there. I promise you, if you hate boredom as badly as I do, you'll never again sit in silence while something is going on within you. If you like boredom, you won't hear me. But there's something I can't put words to what my experience last night and this morning. But I didn't even realize that this was I didn't even know what date it was. I mean, once I got up and did my morning constitutions or ablutions or whatever they are. But there was a quickening in me for most of the night that there isn't much time left. And stop wasting your time on yourself. Stop wasting the slightest bit of energy and being concerned with whether or not you understand or whether or not you see or whether or not you're going to do this or whether or not you're going to do that. Because once self has your attention, you are defeated from God's perspective. It doesn't matter whether the attention is sincere. It doesn't matter whether you're really struggling. Once self has your attention, you're defeated. And in one real way, that is the only thing that the evil one is doing, is trying to keep your attention on yourself. And he's done a damn good job of it. It's time now to totally 100% abandon yourself. Pick up your cross and you will follow him. You will never again be bored. You will have a life of excitement and revelation that you can't even conceive of. But if you continue being consumed with self, you are simply what the scriptures call lukewarm, and he will spew you out of his mouth. And I know that sounds harsh, but it is the reality of spiritual life. I'm tired of talking. Anybody else want to say anything?
I saw a moment there when you were talking about when you learn that your enemies are your best friends, and then you had this spasmodic pain or whatever happened to you at that moment. It's like I saw how your pain is the gift to keep you focused, because without it, I mean, when you have pain, you go down to nothing else matters. You get down to
Him, except Him.
Because nothing else has any value. And if you weren't in pain, you'd probably be doing stuff that I mean, I just saw the value of the enemy and the suffering.
Anybody else? I've now, in terms of this hunk of flesh being on earth, I've now been on earth about half the time in the flesh and half the time in the spirit. And I'm old. But I thought you might want to hear, especially the people that may be listening on the, on their idiot boxes, computers, what things were said when...
Why were you at that meeting? What was the draw?
I'd raised the money for it. It was a Channel 33 television station. I'd raised the money for the station and done the public access survey for the FCC.
But you weren't even a believer in
this. No, I did it for the money. I read them in Bananas once before.
Yeah, I've heard them.
You haven't heard them. You weren't in Bananas. You're lying through your teeth again, Ronnie, and through your front teeth.
Don't mean I heard them.
Bojo, any response?
Any one of those items could be talked about for a long time.
That's what I've been doing for 30 years.
The one that I thought was particularly striking to me anyway was the one, I'm not sure exactly what you said, but you visit the bottom, but you don't live there or something like that?
You will all visit the bottom, but you won't live there.
I mean, the inverse is true also. We all strive for the top, but we don't live there either.
The real you does.
Well, that's...
I think in regard to that, you walk in the manner you received Him, so when you're at the bottom, you remember that place. Even though you don't live there, that's something you carry with you as a place of understanding.
Yeah. In the same manner, walk you in the same manner as you received Him. So you received Him. The only way you received Him is in failure, in weakness, in emptiness. And don't ever leave that place.
Honestly, say when after a few years of being a believer, I was guilty of taking on this mentality that I was some kind of champion or something. My life was golden, or I was at the top, and that's when all the difficulty started. Believing this crap that was taught to me. Suffering and gaining his godliness. It never worked. And I always thought, well, why isn't it working?
Well, the thing that all automatically transpires, and this is what is so evil about much that's being done in the name of God, is because when you, the people don't live, that's not their life, that they're always successful, they're always. And so the whole idea, that's a lie. And so when you hear that over and over, and you go to these conferences over and over, and you listen to it on television over and over, and your pastor in church tells you it over and over and over, and you're not there. And that's the huge, I mean, just the misery that that causes people. Because that you automatically, I mean, it doesn't matter how, you know, puffy you are, whatever you want, huffy, that's a good word. It's the critical times in your aloneness when if you're not what you expect to be, which you haven't been your whole life, now you're not what you expected to be, but it's God that's looking over your shoulder and saying, you screwed up again. You're not worth anything. You're going to hell or whatever. I mean, it's just this. And then for people to call these prayer lines, you know, you've heard me talk about and say, well, why wasn't I healed after I made the vow of faith? It's because you got secret sin in your life. But it's
about that last night too, because of
what?
Because of listening to you speaking to the atheist, and it was really impressive. And he had different that group was than if you go to a typical church, because there was no following of depression, which was evident to me at that point how many people try to live up to what they're supposed to be in a typical church, and that's their whole life, and they never can do that.
I don't hardly remember what I said yesterday.
I remember sitting there thinking God's going to show up now. It seemed like a total open door between them and us all being together and just thinking, listening.
I do remember one thing. I said I was more honored to speak to them than I was to the churches that we invited me to speak. I probably shouldn't have said that over the thingy here.
Probably wise.
I was thinking of you getting invited to the upcoming Zig Ziglar.
What?
I was thinking of you getting invited to this upcoming Zig Ziglar.
Jerry Lewis.
Motivational. Tom Montana.
What's all they're having here in Dallas?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Jerry Lewis is going to be on the bill with Zig Ziglar.
Yeah.
I think that's cover material.
Says it all.
Sign of the apocalypse.
The idea of the whole concept, you get before people to speak, and you got to look your Sunday best and really, you know, make an impression and have a good image, which is opposed to everything you're saying there. Like, the reason for that is to keep the lie.
Well, I mean, the people don't know any better. They're not. The people are not at fault. There can't be a pastor in the universe who is still expecting people to come to a church and be dressed in their Sunday best and behave in a certain manner. He has to know that's a lie. And the reason you have to know it's a lie is because you have to have you know what's going on inside you, and you have to know what's going on inside the people. And so if you expect people to go to church with their best behavior and their Sunday best, you can't possibly believe that that's the way to be. What do you think? God is faked out by your suit or your tie or something? I mean, it's just goofy. And it, the hypocrisy that it promotes, and the people aren't in fault, they're just doing what people do. I mean, believers all over the universe are walking in the kingdom, whether they know anything we talk about or not. But I would hate to be some of those pastors on Judgment Day. I'd hate to be somebody that's been preaching that gain is godliness on Judgment Day. If they use it, that's what I said to when Bob McEwen interviewed me for Dateline a week or whenever. When was that? A couple weeks ago? So anyway, we were finished with it, and then Mead asked me if there was anything, what would I say if Benny Hinn was right in front of me? And I don't remember exactly, but I remember the feeling I had. I said, Benny, your ministry and your life is based on lies. And unless you repent quickly, something, I don't remember what I said, but something like, I mean, it's just goofy. You got to know. You got to know that you're lying to the people. It doesn't matter how many little dresses you have on or how many little statues and things. I mean, there's got to be a place. Even if it's, you can, okay, go through all of that stuff, but at least some place, whether it's in your Bible studies or your Sunday school or something, there has to be a place where honesty can prevail.
But don't they choose to lie or to believe
lies? No. The people don't.
No, but the authority.
Well, who knows? I'm just saying that the system doesn't permit... You know, I'm not... You gotta understand. People have their life invested in a ministry, and they don't know. That's all they know. It's like Copeland. I think Copeland is a sincere believer. I know, but so all he hears is he hears a hundredfold blessing, and you read about the promise of God is a hundredfold blessing. No one that has left brothers and sisters and mothers and sons and daughters and cars, etc., and money, shall not receive a hundredfold in this life and in eternal life and in eternity or whatever it says. But the point of it is he's talking to the rich young ruler. That's the message. And the disciples heard him say that you have to sell all you have and give to the poor. And the disciples had done their best to give whatever they had. And they said, my God, we haven't given enough. What can we do? And Jesus' answer to them was, no man that has left that but shall not receive. And again, he's talking about what believers throughout all of time have found when they gave up their own life and they found community. He's not talking about... Do you understand the irony? The rich young ruler, he says to the rich young ruler, sell all you have and give it to the poor. In the same paragraph with his disciples, he's saying, you'll have a hundredfold blessing, no matter what you gave up. Well, I mean, if the rich young ruler had only heard that part, he would have been a deacon. He'd have replaced Peter as chief apostle. Do you understand what I'm saying, how critical this is? They've taken these half scriptures, most of them about the hundredfold blessing or the hundredfold increase. And he's talking about the seed of Christ. But they've taken the hundredfold blessing and have made it another instrument of self-realization. And the lamb shall come forth. But he has two horns, but he still speaks with the mouth of the dragon. Anyhow. Live today as if it is judgment day, and stop living in both worlds. Take it, big guy. I'm tired of talking.